Brian, I have just had a note from Ken to say that he is on another conference call which will probably last for about half an hour. So when he gets off that call, he'll check with me to see if this one's still going.
Okay, that sounds good. Maybe we'll wait another minute or two and then go ahead and get started. We may have the same problem with participation that we had last week. But what I'm thinking is that we can sort of talk about what's here. And I guess Ross was going to draft the final paragraph. I think the IPC had a provision indicating that the WDPRS should be included as a link in the WHOIS output. And I think as a matter of compromise, we've decided that to revise that, to propose something that would indicate that the registrars would try to promote knowledge of the WDPRS, and how that's done would be, you know, ultimately decided by whoever decides the implementation.
Mm-hmm.
Ross, I think, is going to propose alternative language on paragraph C, which I don't think he's had a chance to do yet, but that's another issue. The rest of this, I think, might be to him, but he can address that when he's on the call. What also might be helpful is if we, for next week, try to get Bruce Tonkin on the call, because I think we're at a point where it would make sense to bring this to conclusion, and he might be a bit of a moderating influence, if no one has an objection to that. Anyway, who just joined? Ross here. Hi, Ross.
Hey, Ross. Brian was just taking us through sort of where we stood on the emails that you guys sent out this morning.
Mm. And who's us?
Miss Barbara. Oh, and Glenn is on the call, and Greg Ruth.
Hi, guys.
And Ken has just
and girls.
Ken has just sent a message to say that he'll be on another call for at least half an hour. So that leaves us with the business constituency without anybody, the non-commercials, and ALEC. Plus, of course, the registries.
So, Ross, from your note, it looks like the moving forward on discussion right now might have to wait until you have a chance to present it to the registrar's constituency and get some buy-in.
Yeah, I don't have any feedback yet on that. So, you know, I'm certainly I haven't really changed my view or opinion over the last 12 hours. So, I'm not or haven't really formed one actually at this point. So.
And do you think you'll have the language for that last paragraph shortly, or did you want to hold off on that until you had your discussion?
I don't expect to have it today, if that's the question.
Okay.
Provide me some bounds around shortly.
Oh, I was just trying to get a sense of you know. Yeah, shortly, I guess, to me meant within the next day or so.
Right.
It wasn't meant to be like within the next 12 hours. It was more of a, you know, just like within this cycle of.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do. I think, you know, my immediate inclination is that this is a registry problem, not a registrar problem. Or let me rephrase that, it's more effectively dealt with by the registries than the registrars. But
the publication of the WD.
If the IPC position remains that it's something that should be publicized through the WHOIS, then it's more effectively dealt with by the registry.
Got it. Okay.
If you know, my my preference is that this is something that's dealt with through outreach and education, just like we deal with every other policy. But I'm not sure how convincing I can be on that particular point. So.
Right. Now, Ross, have you reviewed sections 1A and B? I mean, I assume that meets with your approval based on the discussion yesterday. And not speaking for the registrars, but just your terms.
To be honest with you, Brian, I got it late last night. I glanced at it. Haven't revisited it since. So I'm not raising my hand with objection, which is positive, I suppose. But I haven't really read it either.
All right. Well, Greg, you have any thoughts on this that you want to throw in, or do you have any sense of what's here and whether or not it would be acceptable to your constituency?
Well, I haven't looked it over very carefully, but I think that we need to press on. I think the idea of getting Bruce in the call is not a bad idea. We certainly have to get more participation if we're going to claim consensus.
Yes, that actually was an issue we discussed at the council call last week, and a point was made by one of the council members that the task force itself does not have to achieve consensus, that the council is where consensus is measured and determined. And so if we were to forward something that was somewhat contradictory in the sense of having two parts to it, one expressing one point of view and one expressing a different point of view, that they would be willing to take on the work of figuring out if there's consensus for one view or the other.
Okay. All right, well, why don't we do this? I mean, I guess the only three on the call, only three constituencies would be Greg's, Ross's, and mine, correct?
Right.
Other representatives on the call? Is that right?
I believe that's correct, yes.
All right, well, I think at this point, there's not a whole lot we can do today. Ross, why don't you go ahead and see if you can circulate something on paragraph C and face with the registrars about this revised proposal so we can talk about it next week. And why don't we have the call at the same time? And if Glenn, if you can, or Barbara, since we had Bruce on the call next week, if he's available, and see if we can bring this.
Yeah, this time of day might be hard for him to participate.
What time is it?
Thank you, Barbara. I was just going to say the same thing. We should perhaps look for a time that will be more suitable for Bruce.
What's that?
What's this proposal regarding Bruce? I missed that.
I think it might be useful if we had Bruce on the call so that we can try to bring this. And, unless people have an objection to that.
In what
I think
capacity?
It might be helpful. We're kind of spinning our wheels here.
In what capacity, Brian?
Yes?
In what capacity?
He's chair of the GNSO Council, right? Can he participate in the call and provide his insights? Or even as a registrar?
Yes, if he's participating as chair, if that's the basis that you're extending the invitation, I have a real problem if he was participating as a registrar.
I'm sorry?
If you extend the invitation on the basis of him participating as the GNSO chair, I have no issue with that. I would have a huge problem if the invitation was extended on the basis of him being a registrar.
Okay, let's have him participate as the GNSO chair then. Maybe what we can do is go forward with our call at regular time and then set a call for, late in the day, say at 5 o'clock or something next Wednesday, and see if we can get Bruce in. So we'll have two calls and then try to wrap this thing up. And are you, Glenn, are you getting any response back from, and, Franny and Vittorio and those folks?
No.
Okay.
No, from Sarah Dage. She might be traveling. The only one that I got a response from was Ken, who, as I say, unfortunately is on another call and he's being held up there. Victoria, I've had no response from. And the message went out loud and clear at the council meeting.
Okay.
Could we just perhaps look at another time if you want a second call for that would accommodate Bruce?
I think later in the day is probably better for him, right?
Much later in the day. It's the problem is that like right now would be about 12:30 in the morning for him.
Yes.
So if we did it at say 5:30, it would be 7:30 in the morning for him, right?
I'm not so sure because you have time change next week.
Oh, yeah.
I don't actually know how their time, I mean, I don't know which day their time changes on.
30, I'm not sure.
And yes, because their time changes because the time changes at different times.
Right.
Why don't we actually let Glenn propose a time on the list? Because that'll give her a chance to go and look at the time and date page and see.
Right.
So now in consultation with Bruce.
Yeah, that's what I was figuring. You'd give him a call.
propose a time and in consultation with Bruce, I'll find out the time and then I'll propose it on the list.
Right. Now I think that makes sense. And the idea being that we're close, it seems to me, and we can probably hammer out these remaining points and figure out where the various constituencies are within the task force, submit that to the GNSO Council, because I don't know that there's dragging this thing out much longer. We kind of have, we're fairly close to resolving some of these, and I think it makes sense to do so. So why don't we have our call at the regular time next week, if Glenn can check with Bruce to figure out his availability, and, you know, assuming that he wants to participate in a mm-hmm. call at a later time. Whatever we can do to get the other folks on the task force to participate, that would be helpful as well.
Now, before we close off the call, was there any discussion regarding the feedback that came from the BC earlier this week, Brian? Did I miss that, or...?
No, there has not been any discussion of. You want to go into that, Ross?
I'm just wondering if there was any plan to. I'm happy not to go into it. I'm happy to go into it. I'm happy to ignore it.
Was that Marilyn Cade's email?
That's correct. Yes.
I remember seeing it at the time, but I don't actually recall the gist of it.
So this is, I'm just reading here to get a better sense of it again. So this is a comment from one member of the BC, so I'm not sure if this is any sort of official commentary, and I'd hesitate to characterize it as such at this point. But the first point that she's making is that, and I'm not even sure that these are her comments as much as they are, just comments from a member of the BC. So the first point she's making here is that they're looking for certainty in the process and that things can't be done on a case-by-case basis. Previously commented that the time frames have to be realistic and that in the previous task force there was no agreement that specific time periods could be supported. In this case, she says 15 days.
And she says that it might be necessary to get a hold on a domain name on a basis where there's a problem such as...
That's, yeah, exactly.
Ross, can you explain to me what happens when a hold is put on a domain name?
Well, there's a couple of different kinds of hold. There's an edit hold, then there's a registry hold. An edit hold means you can't modify the information. It's just kind of locked down. A registry hold means that it's it's locked down. You can't make any changes to it, but nor does it resolve.
Oh, so it doesn't resolve if it's on registrar hold.
It's blocked, exactly.
Okay.
You can't use it for email. You can't use it for a website.
Got it. I wasn't clear on that. Thank you. Yeah, so back to Marilyn's email. So I didn't mean to interrupt. I just...
So she's looking to, she points out that she doesn't see any mechanisms here to deal with urgent situations related to phishing, et cetera, where it's necessary to get a hold or a lock on a more urgent, she says hold, I added lock, on a more urgent basis, while the problem is dealt with on a standardized timeline. She also talks about enforcement or the need for enforcement, but also certainty for registrars that if they follow standard procedures that they have some protection. She prefers bold versus absolute deletion. Hold should take the name out of the zone, which it can depending on how it's applied. This would allow the registrant to rectify the inaccuracy, etc. But she also points out the registrar should not be able to hold names indefinitely without a client, quote-unquote.
Right, like if you weren't able to establish that the person who registered the name is still available.
Right.
Well, I think that the draft that was posted to the list does seem to address a lot of her concerns. The only one it doesn't address is the time frame issue because the 15 days is still in there. But it does have a provision for acting faster if the registrar believes that the information is false altogether.
We have that if it's patently, but I don't know that we what's here. You know, phishing's a different animal because phishing could be completely accurate.
Right.
And if somebody's using the email address and I mean, Roth understands this better than I do, but in a phishing situation, you may have completely accurate data, correct, Roth?
It's highly unlikely.
Yeah, I would say it's highly unlikely, and if it is in fact correct data, then the business that's being attacked can issue other legal remedies against the person because they actually know who the person is. But I think what she's looking for is that in cases where you don't know if the information is accurate, but it's still performing this activity, you know, is there any more prompt way to get the site removed?
Yeah. Ross, is there a mechanism when there is phishing going on to quickly determine that?
It's a difficult question, Brian. So you're diving into operational policy now as opposed to regulatory policy, and typically that's the game time call that registrars make. I know it's our policy to deal with each case based on the fact at hand. Typically, we do not involve ourselves with issues related to content. That means intervening against or on behalf of spammers, intervening against or on behalf of phishers, on and on and on and on. In other words, there's a whole body of law out there that's designed to deal with fraud, and it doesn't include us. We're happy to facilitate that if we receive a SID or something like that, but we're not going to step in and adjudicate these things.
Yeah, a lot of the...
Does that mean that Marilyn...
I'm sorry, a lot of the businesses try to go to the ISP to get this site shut down first.
Does this mean that Marilyn's proposal that we deal with phishing would be in conflict with the policy you just articulated?
I don't know if it's in conflict. I think it may, in fact, be complementary insofar as that the action that she's looking for is related to some sort of inaccuracy. I don't care if this policy is used as an excuse to get rid of phishers. I would be concerned if this policy, the scope of this policy was extended to include phishing, if that makes sense.
Right. In other words, what she's proposing then is going on, you have inaccurate data and you need to take care of it on a more rapid basis. What, in your view, what would be the most efficient way to handle that?
I think I'm the wrong guy to ask. I think that that's a question I think that the business community, in other words, the registrant community needs to deal with. I'll act along whatever timelines are set in front of me. But there needs to be some balance there between the needs of the business community as it relates to their brand and their customers and those of individual registrants who face the shutdown of their domain names in case a mistake is made. And I'm not sure what the right answer is. My preference is to err on the side of caution, which doesn't make Marilyn happy, right?
Right.
Well, I think we should encourage the business constituency to have one of their members attend the call next week if we're serious about moving ahead with this proposal.
Yeah, all right. I'll send Marilyn an email telling her that wants to draft something that we can consider that would be helpful.
Yeah.
Because that may complicate things at this point, and I do agree that maybe there's a need to address that. At the same time, if another 6 month slog trying to get that done, maybe we off as a recommendation for a future policy. Just to incremental progress that we seem to be on the verge of making. So let's meet next week, and I wouldn't be surprised if she does put something together and send that around. Therefore, we can talk about that as well.
Yeah, it may also be worthwhile at this point reaching out to the individual chairs of the constituencies that have been absent and seeing if we can earn some additional help from those constituencies. Certainly in my conversations with members of the registry constituency and so on, they seem very willing to participate, but yet we don't get that response week to week. So I'm kind of at a loss other than that individual outreach to those individual chairs.
Right.
I don't know if your schedule permits that, Brian, but I'd certainly urge that step.
Okay. Glenn, you're going to send out your invitation, correct, everybody?
Yes, I'll send out, and I'm just looking at the times and dates here. On 6 o'clock in the morning is the time that Bruce sometimes accepts for a conference call, so it would be 6 o'clock in the morning on Thursday morning, the 4th of November, which would make for New York time would be 2 o'clock p.m. in the afternoon. And Barbara for Honolulu, it would be 9.
Oh, yeah, don't worry about my time.
Okay.
I don't know where I'm going to be.
All right. And so, in fact, for the Americans, it would be 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Does that sound
check with
reasonable?
Bruce, because we had a call yesterday at 6:30 his time, right, Ross? And that was at 4:30 in the afternoon.
Yes, right, but next week we'll
have the time changes.
Time changes. They spring ahead and we fall
back. Yes.
And so the time change.
Oh, I see. So it is a 2 hour.
So that's why I've got here in front of me the 6 o'clock morning for him next week. We'll take it at 6:30, which would make New York time, East Coast time, 2 o'clock on Wednesday.
Right.
Does that sound reasonable to you?
That should be fine.
And for you, Ross?
I think maybe she first.
Sorry, Glenn, I missed the time.
2:30 next Wednesday for the second call.
Let me just check my calendar. I don't believe that anything after the second works for me, to be honest. No, I'm out of commission between the second and the sixth.
Okay, that puts you out completely. So next week, in any case, you won't be on the call.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. So, have you got other suggestions?
No. I'll do my best to make the call, but I don't wait for me.
Right. I guess the question then would be, though, how we would proceed if we want to move towards moving it towards towards the council, moving a policy recommendation to the council. Perhaps it might be better in that case to have the meeting at the regular time next week and not have Bruce participate in that call and address the concerns of the business constituency, and then on the following week do the call where we try to bring it to a conclusion.
With Bruce.
Brian, does that seem like a strategy that would work?
That's fine. I think that makes sense.
As a matter of process, sort of constitutional process almost, from the standpoint of my constituency, I do need a two-week window in order to actually get a formal position approved by the constituency. Thus far, we've been operating on sort of
just informal
anecdotal feedback.
Yeah.
So if there's any requirement to actually say, what does the registrar constituency think definitively, I do need that two-week window.
Okay, well, why don't we then just hold the regular meeting next week and encourage the business constituency to bring their discussion to the table and see if there's adjustments that we want to make to the language based on that. And then see where we stand. It might be at that point that we invite Bruce to participate to help us get concluding language that people can take back to their constituencies, or we may just choose to go to the constituencies directly for that and then send the results of that on to council, regardless of whether there's a uniform consensus or not. The reason I'm sort of pushing it is that I think it'd be very, very worthwhile if we could have something sent to council that they could take action on to send to the board in Cape Town. And if we're pushing it too much, we won't meet the timeline for that. But on the other hand, we might. And that would be just, I think, a very productive thing for this task force.
I'd agree with that completely. I'd love to get this out of the way by Cape Town. And for my part towards that goal, I'll certainly be distributing this to my constituency as is, and soliciting that informal feedback and seeing if there's anything I can do before I go away.
Yeah, that would be fantastic, Ross, if you could do that.
Just on that point, Brian, Greg, is there any strong opposition to putting that who is notification up to the registry who is?
I'm sorry, the question, Ross?
If my language came back and said the WDPRS notice should be included in the registry who is versus the registrar who is, would that be an issue for your constituencies?
I'd have to check.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay, well, why don't you, Brian, if you can informally check that out with a few people and see if it's something that would pose an insurmountable problem, or whether it's something that would be acceptable to people.
What I'm going to do is distribute to the registrars with that language, and seeing if anything better comes back, seeing if something worse comes back, and then we'll kind of take it. But if you guys could check with your constituencies in the meantime, that would be helpful.
All right. I'll certainly check.
I'm putting it out as a straw man, though. So
why don't you draft it so that we can
sure
have something to look at.
Sure. Just as long as it's presented as a straw man to your constituencies, I'm cool.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, we'll take a look at that then. All right, sounds good. Same time next week then.
All right.
Yep. Come up next time next week, same time next week, and the draft will be what Ross is going to send out again, or what is on the list.
Well, the draft is what's on the list, but Ross is going to work on a paragraph.
All right. Okay.
I've sent an email to Marilyn. He wants to put something together on fishing. We'll take a look at it.
Yeah, or whoever the representative from the business constituency is to this task force, which I can't remember who it is.
Sarah Dutch.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Do we have alternates?
Well, that's the problem, that on this task force there are no alternate. Well, Marilyn is supposed to be the alternate on this task force for the business constituency, but we have got no alternate for the registry.
Okay.
and nor for the non-commercials. Greg's always on the call, so I don't even mention the ISPs. But the non-commercials have got no, and the ALAC has got no, and Ross, you're also pretty alone.
Brian Darville, or sorry, Brian Cute.
Yes, Brian.
Unless you want to step up, Brian. That's
but he's not, is he still around as a registrar?
He resigned about a month ago, I guess.
Yeah,
that's right.
So if I get hit by a bus, we're in bad shape.
Yeah, I think Brian, if you could particularly reach out to Marilyn, that would be very helpful. Someone who posted something, but maybe again another gentle reminder to the chairs of the constituencies that we're actually close to having language on something, and it would be very, very helpful to have their participation.
Language they may not like.
Exactly.
And also, if you're considering something that should be under the registry constituency rather than the registrars, I think you must try and plead with them to have somebody on the call.
Well, it sounds like Ken was intending to today, but got sidetracked by another call. So I think they're making an effort, but yes, I think we need to reinforce that we're actually at a decision-making point, and so it'd be useful to have everyone come back to the table.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay, thanks. Bye.